Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. This is a Monday, October 15th edition coming at you. The Steelers, another disappointing loss on the road to a bad team, is about, what's that, about 72 hours in the rear view? Something like
seems
that.
Like only yesterday, doesn't
seems like only yesterday. The Steelers now 2-3 with some issues.
You think?
You know, but I'll tell you what, and I was kicking this around, you know, with a couple of other guys. You know, yes, they are issues. Are they insurmountable? I don't know yet. I mean, it seems to be, to me, to be difficult to imagine, you know, them turning around all of these things 180 degrees that are bothering them now. But I don't know that you really have to do that after watching football yesterday. But it doesn't matter how bad the competition is if the Steelers don't deal with some of their own issues first. So, you know, this is one of those things for me where it's bad, but I don't know that I'm giving up yet.
Nor should you with 11 games to go. Particularly, let's assume for the moment that the great Peyton Manning beats Philip Whiskey Rivers tonight. That's that would be 3-3 for San Diego.
Okay.
That would leave two teams with winning records in the AFC. There's three right now. We're taping this on Monday afternoon.
Yes.
If the Chargers lose, they're 3-3. That means there's two winning teams in the AFC, Houston and Baltimore at 5-1. And Baltimore is 5-1 despite allowing 441 yards rushing in its last two games. So to your question, does it have to be turned around 180 degrees, or is it just a couple of plays here and there that the Steelers need to start making that they haven't been making? Let's stay there and expand that further. You look at the five games the Steelers have played. They blew out the Jets here. All the other four games have come down to last score, last stop scenarios at the end of the game. They're 1-3 in those games.
Yes.
Do they have to turn things around 180 degrees to go 3-1 in the next four close ones, or just make one or maybe two different plays through the course of a 60-minute football game to start winning those close ones where now they're losing them?
Yeah, I see your rationale, and I agree with it. And, you know, that is my first commandment is you don't have to be anything except better than the team you're playing that day.
That is your first commandment.
Yes.
Second one is thou shalt score touchdowns in the red zone.
And not kick field goals.
And the third one is, really, three tight ends? Do we got to go there?
No, the third one is, thank God the regular refs are back.
Well, no, and then the question that springs off of the point I just made is, how different or how much more difficult would it be to make those one or two more plays against the Ravens, who are perceived as a really good team, than against Oakland or Tennessee, which are both perceived as really bad teams?
Where you already failed to do so.
Right.
Yes.
And is there that much of a difference between what's good and what's not? I just mentioned Baltimore's been hemorrhaging rushing yards.
Yes.
Finding ways to win. Now, does that mean the Ravens are just that good that they have that knack to know how to win, or are they getting kind of lucky and maybe they're due for a rough stretch where all of a sudden they're not making the one, they're not getting the 108 yard kickoff return. The guy is not dropping the 2-point conversion pass in the end zone that would have tied the game. The guy's not missing the 51 yard field goal that would have won the game for the Dallas Football Cowboys. There's a lot of stuff going on. I realize 2-3 is unsightly, but I think the NFL's been goofy enough, at least in my perspective. It's very hard to categorize what's happened and come up with something that we're sure is going to happen because of what just happened.
Right. You cannot project too far down the road. The thing that concerns me, however, is that, yes, I watched pretty much every snap of that Ravens-Cowboys game yesterday, and you are absolutely right. They hemorrhage rushing yards. But every time Joe Flacco went back to pass and was picking those receivers out, I kept thinking of how do the Steelers deal with that based on what we have seen to this point. This is how I was, you know, looking at some of these things. I understand that there are a lot of blemishes on a lot of these teams, but to me, the Steelers, especially defensively, really have to get their house in order. Now, I don't know, and this is part of the guessing game, the argument about sports that makes it fun. I don't know if I'm in charge, which I'm not, thank God for Steelers fans nationwide, but I don't think that you can expect to stay the course entirely and expect it to change. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, you go from your 3-4 defense you've been playing forever to some other scheme. But let me just throw this out to you as one little thing. I think the time where Ike Taylor matches up against a receiver an entire game, that's got to be put aside for a little bit. I'm not saying it's junked completely, but I think, you know, I'll use a baseball analogy since you like baseball so much. You know, move the guy around in the order if he's having a hitting slump. You know, do some, do some other things. I'm not saying bench him or cut him or anything like that. But I think that, you know, just continuing to write your lineup up and roll the ball out there and do it as you have, I don't think that's the way to go either. I don't anticipate the Steelers are looking at it that way. I certainly hope that, you know, maybe this long weekend there was certainly the coaches, the players, you want to get them away from it for a while, okay, fine. But I think the coaching staff has to come up with some things, especially on defense, to slow this down a little bit. Because I think your offense can carry you a little bit, you know, the defense, maybe it never will be what it was in 08 or even last year where it was leading the league in virtually every significant defensive category that there is, including points allowed, which to me
might be the most
significant. But this year, I mean, it's not good. And I don't know, you have to try and find, I think, a little bit of a happy medium where you're playing good enough defense to keep the game winnable for your offense,
which they kind of have. I mean, in that context,
yeah, oh yeah, because
they have done that now.
Because you're losing by field goals at the end of the game,
that you're giving up those field goal drives.
Yeah,
that's not good. You're giving up the 80-yard drive to Philadelphia and forcing your offense to go down and make a field goal. Which, hey, they get paid too. I mean, that's not an unreasonable request. But it's not been a consistent level throughout in these games. They've played well at times and they've played poorly at other times. Maybe the thing they hang their hat on going into Cincinnati is getting Lamar Woodley and James Harrison out there on the field at the same time, which we've been talking about
for 2 years
since last season. And, you know, maybe that's the thing that allows you to make one or two more plays. You know, you had made the point on one of these programs. I won't try to guess which one, but for the defense to stop somebody at crunch time, you don't have to just shut them down. Somebody's got to make a play at some juncture
of
the drive. Sometimes it's one guy doing one thing.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that as I was reviewing the Ravens game yesterday. Dallas had a shot to tie that game because it went 80 yards in 18 plays. 18 plays, and not one guy in purple made a play. I keep going back to that because Baltimore is 5-1, and hey, all credit for winning the games. That you play to win the game.
Right.
You don't carp about wins, but I don't know that we can rubber stamp Baltimore as a 13 or 14 win team because Baltimore's 5-1 right now.
The only thing, though, is, you know, yeah, they're probably going to come back to the pack, but did you let them get too far in front?
Well, that's
the thing.
I guess. The other thing that really made an impression on me yesterday, and I haven't got much right this year, but I was not surprised about this, Cleveland beating Cincinnati at home. Cleveland plays these division games like a real outfit. And I don't know what happens to the Browns against the Buffaloes and the New York football Giants of the world, but they're 1-2 in the division, and both of the losses are by 7 points on the road. And in that Ravens road game, they're lobbing passes into the Baltimore end zone as time is expiring. So you can't rubber stamp two wins over Cleveland either. Now, can the Steelers continue their mastery of the Browns as they're going to have to if they're going to get back into this? Can the Browns bite Baltimore the way the Browns bit Cincinnati yesterday in the rematch? Let's see, but stay tuned.
Yeah, and again, though, it all comes back to me. The Steelers, in order to take advantage of this, or for them to remain in, for this conversation to remain viable, they have to do some things to get their house in order defensively. And, you know, I'm not sophisticated enough of a football mind, nor am I well-versed enough in a lot of the particulars that the Steelers want to do for me to be able to give specifics on what needs to be better. But, you know, it just seems to me that, you know, that one play by one guy to stop them one time is as elusive as the unicorn. You know, Keenan Lewis had a pass hit him in the chest. You know, and even to me, one of the really bad things was Ike Taylor's holding on 3rd and 10 when, if you just let him catch, it was only a 3-yard pass, let him catch the ball, and then they kick a field goal.
Tackle the catch would have been just fine.
Good enough then. Yeah. It's he's competing, and I'm sure that based on the way that game was going, he was frustrated and really trying to make a play. And, you know, I think that their hearts are pure. You know what I mean? It's not so much an ego thing, but guys are just trying to do something to help their buddies in the locker room, their brothers in the locker room, and it just breaks down in a lot of different ways.
Talked to James Harrison a little bit about that today, and he said it's technique and communication in a lot of instances that they need to clean up. Now, if that's the case, that should be eminently fixable. You ought to be able to communicate, and you ought to be able to play the right technique. You practice that your whole life. So, you know, has that urge to do too much been betraying technique? Maybe. Harrison also took responsibility on that 25-yard pass to the tight end that set up the winning field goal for Tennessee, for what that's worth. But the general theme out of the locker room today, Labs, was that this is still a confident team. It's still one that has a bunch of guys who have been there, done that, and they understand that. And I heard that a few times from a few different people, and I asked Max Starks what it is about this particular group that leads him to believe it can do something similar to what the 2004 team did, and he said still got number 7.
So
that's a viable argument to me.
It's a very viable argument, but let me throw this at you. Did you ever think that this team would be below 500 at this point with number 7 playing as well as he is?
Nope.
Right. So that, I mean, that's a little scary to me when your franchise, and this guy's a little legitimate franchise quarterback, not one just who carries the label. He's playing very well, and you're still losing to bad teams. Again, I'm going to stick with.
Let's do the one play theory on defense. Let's project that to the offense.
Oh, sure.
He's playing very well. Can he get one more completion a game?
Or throw one fewer pick?
There you go. Is that right. Reinventing the wheel? Is that 180 degrees, or is that just a little bit better, and a little bit better is enough?
Yes, it is. But that means, though, that the other units – have to maintain as well, because we can do the one play thing with special teams too.
Yes,
and gee, I don't know, how about not having two penalties on a punt return for a touchdown, or how about getting a punt off, you know, when you line up to get the thing to kick it? So yes, if Ben makes another play, or the offense makes another play,
or how about not getting the one penalty to start the drive where you need the field goal to win the game before overtime.
Yeah, I mean, the offense, if they clean up their business, the special teams, though, or defense, then cannot add another one to the pile, you know, to make up. And that seems to me to be kind of what's going wrong here so far. I really wish it was one thing, because it's one thing.
Yeah, they fire him and go to the next.
Or focus all your energies on fixing it, and there you go. But you know, you can't fire everybody.
Well, I look at it like this: the outlook after Oakland, there was, you know, how did that happen? This is potentially devastating. This is one you might be talking about the rest of the year. And then they came back and beat the Eagles, and the outlook was completely different at 2-2.
Yes.
So now here we are again, probably worse to me losing to Tennessee than losing to Oakland. I know it's
and it's degrees, exponentially worse having losing to Tennessee after you should have learned your lesson against Oakland.
But now you have a road game at Cincinnati, and if you win that, you're 3-3, and they're 3-4. And the picture is once again the Ravens, 180 degrees different from what it was.
And if the Ravens lose to the Texans, they're 5-2.
Yeah.
And you're only one game behind in the loss column.
Thing I'm least confident about is the Steelers beating the Bengals. But
me too. And maybe that's because we watch them all. We've seen every play of every game.
Butch, our colleague Butch Hobson at Cincinnati is probably holding his hand saying, oh, they're going to beat the Steelers. It's fun. It's unpredictable.
It is.
It's nuts.
It definitely, and it's certainly not unfolding the way either you or I had any expectation.
But I guess to take us back to where you started, where you know you're not ready to give up yet, there's no reason to, because if those couple things happen, then it's a horse race again.
There he is, the optimist in the group. That's Mike Prisuta. I'm Bob Labriola.
It's just like beating Michigan, Labs. It changes your whole season.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.